As announced this evening, I want to continue our study on the resurrection, and we are primarily working out of the book of Acts, since that was where our Bible class was taken from last quarter. And we talked about a number of things this morning regarding the resurrection, that Jesus' resurrection proves that he's the Son of God. That through Jesus' resurrection, God put an end to the agony of death, and therefore we, raising up with him when we are baptized, death no longer has its hold upon us, and as faithful children of God, will live for eternity in heaven. We also talked about that because Jesus Christ was resurrected, we can be saved through him. That God saves us by uniting us with Christ, his death and his resurrection, when we are baptized into Christ. Now, as we continue our lesson this evening, I want us to talk about this fact, as we've already read from Acts chapter 4, and in particular in verse 12, that Jesus' resurrection proves that his name is authoritative for us today. And again in verse 12, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." That's the name of Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, once again, and verse 21, as Peter is giving the sermon and he's preaching Jesus Christ and he's preaching the resurrection, "And those who were pricked in their heart asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? And the message of Peter was to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to be baptized for the remission of your sins." Now in verse 21, as he is in this sermon leading up to that answer, what they must do, in verse 21, Peter says, quoting from the Old Testament, "And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now in the New Testament, we learn what that name is. That name is Jesus Christ. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 10. And remember, this lesson, this sermon is a little bit different than others. We're looking at a lot of scriptures. So I implore you to be turning in your Bibles with me. You may want to take some notes to help you keep all of these things in your mind. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, chapter 10 and verse 14, as the Apostle Paul is laying out this discourse, he says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed?" In other words, for us to call on the name of the Lord, we must first believe. Without believing, it's impossible to call on him. But notice what else he says. "How will they believe in him whom they have not heard?" So before we can believe, we have to hear the gospel message. Having heard the message, having believed the message, now we know how to call on his name. At the end of verse 14, "And how will they hear without a preacher?" Now skip down to verse 17, a verse that we talk about quite often. "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." And the point is that we first of all must hear the gospel message. Without hearing it, we do not know what to believe. And without hearing and believing, it's impossible for us to call on the name of the Lord because we do not know what the Lord has commanded us to do. Now turn your Bibles back over to the book of Acts, and now in Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, and here the Apostle Paul is recalling his conversion. And we learn here how we call upon the name of the Lord so that we are saved. Here the Apostle Paul is recalling what Ananias, the one sent to him by Jesus Christ to tell him what he must do. And verse 16, this is what Ananias said, "And now why do you delay, but get up and be baptized and wash away your sins?" Doing what? What are you doing when you are baptized and your sins are being washed away? Well, you are calling on the name of the Lord. This is the gospel message. How is it that we call on the name of the Lord as prophesied from long ago in the Old Testament? You obey Jesus Christ to be baptized, and in that way you call on his name. Now turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 3, a verse we looked at this morning. And here as we are talking in particular about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, let's look at how that comes into play with us calling on His name by being baptized. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Peter says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of the dirt of the flesh, in other words, not just getting wet in water, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, because Jesus Christ was resurrected, because of what God did to raise Him from the dead, because of His promise that we read about this morning, that He will use that same power to raise you up with Jesus Christ, that power that He used to raise Jesus from the grave after being there 3 days, He uses that power to raise you up with Jesus Christ, having forgiven you of your sins, now having a living hope rather than the dead hope that you had previous to that. When you're baptized, you're saved, calling upon the name of the Lord through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now look back at chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 3. We looked at verse 2 this morning, and we also looked at verse 3. Verse 3. 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again. Let's realize that when we call on the name of the Lord by being baptized into Jesus Christ, we are born again. And remember that Jesus says that unless we're born again, we cannot see the kingdom of heaven. We must be born of water and the Spirit. When we're baptized into Jesus Christ, through the resurrection of Christ, we are born again. Notice what it says, verse 3. Born again to a living hope, here's this word, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this is only possible because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and now you and I, when we are baptized into Jesus Christ, into His death, into His burial, we are raised up with Him to newness of life, to sit in the heavenly places with Jesus Christ. How is this possible? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now turn your Bibles with me over to Colossians chapter 3. We're talking about the name of Jesus Christ that is authoritative for us today. And that name means, expresses His authority. We've talked about that a number of times. We're not going to go to the Old Testament scriptures and define the word with the Bible. We've talked about that a number of times. So we've talked about the authority of Jesus' name in salvation. Now let's talk about it with everything we do, just not salvation. Another passage you're very familiar with, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This name is authoritative because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That it is in His name, that's none other, His only, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Remember scriptures such as John chapter 4 and verse 24, that God is seeking those to worship Him. Worship how? In spirit and in truth. We must worship according to the name of Jesus Christ, by the name of Jesus Christ, to be worshiping in such a way. Remember in Mark chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, that Jesus says of the Jews that they worshiped in vain, doing what? Teaching as traditions of men, teaching them as commandments of God. And so we do not do that. Rather, we worship in the name of Jesus Christ by that which He authorizes. Turn your Bible with me to 2 John. 2 John, another scripture that you're very familiar with, but I want us to take just a moment and look at it tonight within this context. 2 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Therefore, it is by His name that we must worship. We must do the things which we do. The resurrection in Romans chapter 1 verse 4 proved that Jesus is God's Son. The resurrection, Acts chapter 4 verse 2, shows us that in Jesus Christ and in Him alone we are resurrected. We talked about that this morning. Now 2 John chapter 1 verse 9. And this is the New American Standard. I like the way that it reads. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ, or your Bible may say doctrine of Christ. We must abide in those things which Jesus Christ teaches and those things alone. In other words, that's saying exactly what Colossians 3:17 is saying. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't leave one thing out and don't add one thing to it. Do all in the name of the Lord. Remember in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, those who taught a different gospel, that they were accursed. That is the strongest word that I know of in all the Bible. That means let them be damned to hell. And then remember those who followed after their teaching in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, they were severed from Christ. They have fallen from grace. Jesus' name is authoritative. We must do exactly what he says. Not one thing less and not one thing more. To go beyond that is not to have God. Just to go beyond it in one thing. Turn your Bibles with me over to Acts chapter 9 and verse 14. And I want you to notice tonight who it is that calls on the name of the Lord. You know there's The children of God and the disciples of Christ, they're expressed in a number of different ways. And here's a way tonight that maybe you've not thought about it. But here it's used here in this verse, chapter 9 and verse 14. And here the apostle Paul, here's Saul, not an apostle at this time. He's going throughout the world and he is persecuting Christians. And notice what he says, what it says here in verse 14. And here he has authority, speaking of Saul, as Ananias is referring to him. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who do what? Call on your name. He's responding back to Jesus. And so Christians are those who call on the name of Jesus Christ. We're the ones who appeal to him and his authority for everything we do. And you think of it this way. Who are we? Well, we're Christians. Who are we? We're disciples of Jesus Christ. Who are we? We're children of God. Who are we? We are the ones who call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Those are all synonymous as to who we are and what we do. Turn your Bibles with me over to John chapter 17. And I want to conclude this point tonight by looking at the prayer of Jesus Christ with his apostles just hours before being betrayed, being tried, beaten, humiliated, scourged, and crucified. I want you to notice Jesus' prayer. John chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Jesus spoke these things and lifted up his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you have given him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. Jesus has authority over all flesh. None are excluded. Every single one of us, those who choose to obey Jesus Christ, to recognize his authority and to submit to it, verse 2, those are the ones to whom he gives eternal life. We call upon the name of Jesus Christ. In other words, we submit to his authority in all things, therefore we have eternal life. If you're calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in all you do tonight, Jesus will give you an eternal home in heaven. Because Jesus was resurrected, not only does it prove that his name is authoritative, but it also, through the resurrection, he also empowers us as his disciples. Turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 8. Because Jesus was resurrected, he empowers us as his disciples. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verses 33 and 34. Verses 33 and 34 of Romans chapter 8. Verse 33 says this, Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Now I want us to take just a moment and I want us to look at this empowerment that we have from God because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 8. And we're going to look very quickly at just a few verses. And we already looked at verse 1 this morning, but let's read it again. Chapter 8 of Romans, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And remember about everything we talked about already about being in Christ, that there's the resurrection is in Jesus Christ. And remember the things we talked about on how we enter into Christ. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. That law of death, that bondage of sin which you were released from, Romans chapter 6 and chapter 7 and chapter 8, because you're in Jesus Christ, because of His resurrection, you have been set free from that. Now skip down to verse 10. Verses 10 and 11. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Verse 11, but the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead. Now get this, we're talking about the resurrection. The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. I want you to realize that if it were not for the resurrection, these things would not be possible. Look down to verse 14 now. Verses 14 through 17. Now, as a result of these things, we have a relationship with God as His children. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. Now go down to verse 26. The Spirit of God intercedes for us. Let's notice in what way. Verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now we're going to talk about the intercession of Christ here in just a few verses. And these are not the same intercessions. But God, by His will, uses the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to search our minds and to communicate the things of our minds to God. With groanings that are so deep, too deep even for words. And it may be those times when words just do not come to us. Sometimes people will ask me to pray for them. And I can just see it may be because of sickness. It may be because of suffering and agony and distress. That it's just beyond them at that moment to pray and to offer up those prayers. That the words are just not there on how to communicate. And I'm happy to pray for them, but let's understand that also the Spirit is searching their mind according to the will of God and communicating those things up to the Father. Talking about the blessings, the empowerments, the things that we have from God as a result of Jesus Christ raising from the dead. Now go down to verse 31. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead and all the things we've been talking about throughout this day. If God is for us, we are His children, the disciples of Jesus Christ, those who appeal to the authority, the name of Jesus Christ. If God is for us, who can be against us? Not one person. Not the devil. The devil can't defeat us. Our greatest enemies cannot defeat us. No one can defeat us if God is for us. If we're on his side, the battle belongs to the Lord. Verse 32. Notice, he who did not spare his son, going back almost remnants of chapter 5. If God did not spare his son, but sent his son to die for you, is he going to allow the devil now to come and to snatch you away against your will? Certainly not. He who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? All possible because Jesus raised from the dead. Verse 33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God. Get this. Who also intercedes for us. John tells us also he is our advocate. That Jesus Christ is interceding for us. He's pleading our case before the throne of God. This is possible only because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Having offered the sacrifice behind the veil in the spiritual temple, making atonement for our sins, he intercedes for us. Verse 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 37. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Brethren, this is only possible because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And all the blessings that we have now in Jesus Christ, including resurrection to eternal life. But all the blessings we have in this life. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able. It's not able. Does not have the strength, does not have the power, does not have the authority to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And remember we talked about that phrase, in Christ Jesus, a number of times already today. Turn your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 3. Paul uses a phrase here that I think has been fairly well explained, and I want us to use this explanation in understanding this phrase used in Philippians chapter 3 and beginning in verse 10. Here, jumping in the middle of things. Philippians 3:10. Paul speaking of the things that he had done and put all the things of the flesh and those things which he valued so much and he had counted them as rubbish, verse 8. Put them all behind, threw them all in the trash. Verse 10, why did he do this? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What do you mean the power of his resurrection? The power of his resurrection in the way that we have talked about from Romans chapter 8 already. That power that we have in our lives as children of God, that not one thing is able to overcome us in our life. That we are more than conquerors as the children of God. He says, know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Know the power of his resurrection and in this life and in the life to come when he exerts his power upon us, raising us to eternal life. Yes, the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that his name is authoritative, and because Jesus resurrected, we are empowered as his disciples. And one final point in this lesson. Because Jesus resurrected, we will have eternal life in heaven. And we've talked about that a great deal throughout this lesson already. But I want to notice a few more passages. Remember in Acts chapter 4, verse 2, we won't turn there right now, that in Christ Jesus is the resurrection, that we have our resurrection in Jesus Christ. But turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to look at a verse here, and then we're going to go over to 1 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Then we're going to go over to 1 Thessalonians for a moment, and the lesson will be yours. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through His power. Paul is saying, not only has God raised up Jesus Christ, but He will raise us up also. As He raised up Jesus Christ with His power, so He will raise us up with His power to live forevermore. Turn to chapter 15 for just a moment. And let's notice a few things about this resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. Verse 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ. Again, notice that in Christ, we've talked about it all day. In Christ, all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ's at his coming. And so because Jesus Christ raised from the dead, we too can raise up by the power of God. God will raise us from the dead. Drop down to verse 42. Verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. That's our physical body. It is raised an imperishable body. That's that spiritual body that we'll have. Jesus says we'll be like the angels. Verse 43. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. Get this. It is raised in power. That's exactly what we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. As Paul talks about the power of Jesus Christ, when He exerts that power upon us to change us into this spiritual being. Drop down to verse 55. 55. Here speaking of our victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Death doesn't have a victory. Verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He was raised first, the first fruits. We are raised after that by the power of God. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. This motivates us. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. This is our motivation. Because we believe Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Therefore, as we talked about this morning, we believe in God. Therefore, we believe His promises that He's going to raise us from the dead as He exerts His power upon us. Jesus Christ being the first fruits. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians. Just a few more passages and then this lesson will be yours. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. And to wait for His Son. Now that's what we're doing now. We're waiting for His Son. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. And remember, he talks about that wrath in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. When Jesus Christ comes from heaven with His angels in flaming fire to bring wrath upon those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we wait for Him and He rescues us from that wrath. Turn over to chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. Here Paul talks about the coming of Jesus Christ, and we've read this a number of times. I want to read through it one more time, and then I want to talk about our motivation once again. Verse 14, but if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, get this. If we believe this, that Jesus died and rose again, we're talking about the resurrection in this series, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with, with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord, if you believe it. If you believe it. The resurrection. If you believe that Christ died and he rose again, verse 14. And all the things that we're talking about, that one fact necessitates you, therefore, to believe and to act upon, then you too will rise up. If you've already died before this occurs, you're going to come back with the Lord. If you remain here at that time, you're going to rise up in the clouds and you're going to be with Him in the great reunion of all the saved. And Paul says that you're going to be with Him forevermore, not to leave ever, 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 ever again. Here's our motivation, verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And I suppose all of us need comfort. We have struggles, we have hardships, we have things that we're dealing with, and we all need comfort. Comfort in respect to our loved ones who are in Christ that have gone on before us. We need comfort in that regard. But we also need comfort as to what the future holds for us. We know what the future holds. There's no question about that. No question whatsoever. That's the comfort that we have from God. Jesus' resurrection, as we talked this morning, proves that He's the Son of God. And that's far-reaching. Through Jesus' resurrection, God put an end to the agony of death. We can rise up to eternal life. Because Jesus resurrected, we can be saved through Him. God saves us by uniting us with Christ, His death, His resurrection, when we're baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. Jesus' resurrection proves that He has authority from God, that His name is authoritative. It's the only name by which men must be saved. Because Jesus resurrected, we are empowered as His disciples. And because Jesus resurrected, we have eternal life with Him in heaven. The resurrection. Think about these things as you go throughout your week and the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in your life. If you're not a Christian tonight, the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that you can be saved. You're not now, but you can be saved. And as we've talked about throughout this day, when you believe in Jesus Christ, that He rose from the dead, when you believe in Him and you obey Him, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, and being baptized into Jesus Christ, making your appeal to God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You're washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. You're added to the church. You are a child of God, a disciple of Jesus Christ. You raise up with Him. Never die again, as long as you're faithful to Him. Think about these things. If you're subject to gospel invitation at all this evening, won't you step to the front now as we stand and sing.